In brightest day,
in blackest night.
The rest of what I do. What I do best isn't very nice.
The Comic Culture Radio Show. Chris Owen, Walter DeRiley.
Excelsior!
Crush your enemies. See them driven before you. They hear the lamentation of the women.
And welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, and we're podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRiley, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your twinkling little stars.
Making you wonder just what the hell we are. Sorry, heck. I meant
heck,
to say heck.
What the heck, heck,
what
we,
the
are.
Heck we are.
Yes,
sorry,
Chris.
Yes.
Of course, Chris, it's great to be here. This is our Christmas special.
It really is. This is it.
Isn't it?
You know, four more days until Christmas?
Four more sleeps.
Wow.
Five more sleeps.
Five?
Five more sleeps, yeah. And everybody's very excited. Yeah, you're right. Four more sleeps. I'm just totally off tilt.
Wow.
I'm so excited.
Too much eggnog.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, I know.
Too much cookies.
I know. So Walt, what are you asking for Christmas this year?
You know what? Other than, say, like world peace,
right,
which I ask for every year,
right,
a whole bunch of like electronic gadgets.
Oh, yeah, right. I asked for peace once. All I got was a bowl of vegetables.
Hey!
I got a million of them.
Yeah.
So.
All right, Chris. Well, on that upper note, let's just dive right into our
all
Christmas
right, let's do it.
Show.
Let's do it.
And what are we going to do
first? New this week.
What Christmas-themed comics did you pick for us
well,
this week?
Well, new this week, first of all, is brought to you by Osgood, Oswald, and Oz, barristers and solicitors, specializing in Christmas present lawsuits. Not happy with the gift you found under the tree? Call Osgood, Oswald, and Oz for a free consultation. Know your rights when it comes to Christmas.
Wow. Oh, good for you. All right.
Well, so this week we've got a few different things going on here. So the first one, let's start with DC this week.
All right, we're going to start with DC this week.
And we've got Batman Incorporated, Leviathan Strikes.
Chris, this looks like a nice, shiny, thick comic book.
It is. You know what? It would look perfect in anybody's Christmas stocking.
Yes, it would. It's a beautiful $6.99 for, I mean, it's pretty thick. What is it?
Yeah.
100-pager? Probably, right?
Close to that. I think it was, so it's Batman Incorporated, and I think it was actually a story that wasn't really meant to be part of the new DCU, but it was sort of a hanger-on from the old
Grant Morrison, right?
Stuff, because it's by Grant Morrison and Chris Burnham and Cameron Stewart. So I think it was sort of a hanger-on kind of thing that they just kind of took them all and made it into one big story.
Excellent.
So it's a one shot, so it's a little bit more expensive, but you know you're probably getting at least three or four more comics out of that one shot.
Okay, so I know you might not know this, but this isn't part of the new 52 continuity, then.
I don't believe it is. Right. I don't.
So it's like an Elseworlds.
I don't know for sure because I haven't actually read it. But it just came out today and it looked awesome. And I took a flip through it, and you know what? Just the first page alone. I don't want to give away any spoilers. First page alone already had me wanting to read it and find out what's going on, because there's sort of a shocking kind of thing, something you don't see in comics very often.
Right on. All right, so Batman Incorporated, Leviathan Strikes, number one, your local comic book shop today. Chris, then you've given me Daredevil. Here comes Daredevil, Man Without Fear, number seven.
Yes, and this is, of course, written by Mark Waid, and it's illustrated by Paulo Rivera. Now, this, you know what? I just like the way this book looks. It has a feel of you know, it's, I don't know. To me, sometimes comics are getting a little too crazy these days with some of the way the art forms are taken, which is great. But this one has a real nice, solid, old school look and feel to it.
Right.
You know, it's written by Mark Waid, of course, who's been around for forever, who helped write lots of great things, Flash, Kingdom Come. You know, it looks like a great book. And I took a quick quick flip through it, and it's got Hydra in it. It's got all kinds of great characters. So you know what? I just thought, you know what? This is something we have to highlight today.
Fair enough. And you know what? You got to feel for Mark Waid. I mean, I'm sure you don't have to feel for him. He's a great talent in the industry. But
yeah.
It's tough coming into the Daredevil title, isn't it?
Absolutely.
For
yeah.
the last 10 years, Daredevil has you know, the Daredevil title, more than any other title really in Marvel, has proven the benefits of a consistent, good creative
yeah,
team.
Yeah, surprisingly right? enough. Like, you know
so
what?
You had the Bendis Malieve team that yep. went for years and years yep. and really brought back Daredevil.
That's right, absolutely. Yeah. And then you had some Ed Brubaker
yeah,
stories.
Yeah, the Brubaker stuff after you know, that. He took it over for years, and it was just great
it's been,
stuff.
It's been solid for a long time.
Yeah, and Mark Waid, I was like, hopefully now he's going to you know, what I hope he doesn't do is try to outdo
right.
Those guys.
Right.
I hope he sticks to his own
agenda. I think because Mark Waid's writing style compared to you know, Bendis or Brubaker is completely different. So I think he's going to bring something different to the table that
good.
We haven't seen in Daredevil in a long time.
Good, good. All right, Chris, what else do you have
okay,
for us?
Okay, now normally we would say something like this is their kids' pick of the week, but I'm using this as our alternative pick. It's Simpsons number 185 by Bongo Comics. And now you're probably wondering, why did I pick this? Well,
hey, Chris, why'd you pick this?
That's a great question, Walt. I picked this because... in case you weren't too sure, if I don't know how astute you are with your old Mad Magazine artists,
mm-hmm.
but the cover of the current Simpsons comic was drawn by Sergio Aragonés. That's
yeah.
correct. So, reading very quickly, there's a little blurb on the inside front cover. What the fine folks at Bongo did this month is normally they'll have stories and they'll sort of make a cover that's all about the stories that are on the inside.
Right.
Well, this month they decided to do the opposite. So they gave Sergio Aragonés free reign to make a cover of whatever he wanted, mm-hmm. and they gave the writers a copy of the cover, and then they had to come up with stories based on what the cover was all about.
How cool is that?
Yeah, I thought that was brilliant. So that's why I had to talk about it this month, because I thought, well, a brilliant idea, completely new, really fresh idea, and I'm excited to look at it. I'm excited to see what it's all about. We've got on the cover, we've got Homer Simpson and Chief Wiggum both wearing tutus in doing some sort of ballet type thing on stage.
Right on. And the great thing about that whole Simpsons franchise is these guys really do know how to keep it fresh. They really do.
You know,
the TV
yeah.
series,
yeah.
Their comic lines and stuff, they're always keeping it fresh. They're always keeping – because I guess they have to – I mean, you can go pretty stale – pretty quick.
Oh, for right? sure, yeah.
But, you know, changing stuff up like this, great little concept, great little idea.
Love the idea,
fans
yeah.
of Simpsons are going to eat it up.
And you know what? I just like the idea that they're getting – because really, The Simpsons is so stylized, right? It's not like a Daredevil or a Batman where you can kind of have your own take on it.
Right.
Simpsons already has such a huge style to it. It's hard to, you know, invite other artists in to become part of that style.
Mm-hmm.
But what's cool is, you know, in past issues, you do get the, you know, a great range of styles based on The Simpsons, the Matt Groening style. And they're sort of like combining both their own style with the Matt Groening style, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So you've got Sergio Aragonés, who clearly has his own style, but he's doing The Simpsons, so you can see it's Sergio Aragonés doing The Simpsons.
Wow, excellent. So Simpsons, number 185 at your local comic book shop today. Oh, Chris, by the way, before I forget, so last weekend in the Funnies, the Saturday
Papers, yeah,
the Canadian guy, I forget his name, does Mutts.
I know.
Great strip. The little dog is walking up the street.
Right.
And then he walks by Snoopy's house.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Snoopy has all the Christmas lights on it, but there's nobody home.
Right.
Right? And then the last panel, he walks past and he goes, "Geez, I miss that guy."
Aww.
That was awesome.
What a nice little tribute to Chuck
Schultz.
Nice
little tribute.
Yeah,
excellent.
Yeah, very nice. All right. Well, and just to end cap off, speaking of cartoon strips and comic strips again, you know, we've got Archie.
Yeah, Betty and Veronica.
The Double Digest.
Right. Betty and Veronica Friends Double Digest.
Yeah.
That's number 220.
I thought it was great because, you know what, we very rarely ever talk about Archie comics as the kids' pick of the week. We do once in a while, but you know, I don't think we've ever talked about the Double Digest as being the kids' pick of the week.
Yeah.
And this is actually how a lot of kids start to know about Archie, because traditionally they're at the checkout counter, mm-hmm. because they're in that little Double Digest format, the little sort of half-size comic book form, and a lot of parents will pick that up for their kids, and great stocking stuffer.
All right, Chris, as a historian.
Oh boy, here we go.
Would Archie, would MLJ Archie, whatever it is,
yep.
would they be the only publisher that rode out the direct market craze and had the bulk of their distribution really through supermarkets. Right?
Yeah,
I can't think of another publisher.
Yeah.
Like, you think about, you know, the direct market craze that came in the mid-70s, and then by the early 80s it was entrenched.
Yes.
All the publishers of comics and all the future publishers of comics like Image and Dark Horse and Valiant and stuff like that and IDW and everything, they all went direct market.
Right, right.
Archie really never – I mean, you worked at the Silver Snail in Hamilton in the
80s. Yeah, yeah.
Were you guys selling any Archie comics like digests?
No, not really.
Really?
No.
Right.
Yeah, not really. Maybe the odd one or two, but nothing of any great importance, right? Like, I mean, whereas still the grocery stores and the variety stores are still
selling
all
kinds
of them.
That's where they came from.
Yep,
and our shop today, it's kind of, people have come back to Archie in a way. Archie's actually doing okay, probably for the first time ever, in the direct market.
Right.
The last, I would say, since the marriage.
The marriage, yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. There are a lot of people that grew up reading Archie that, you know, are now finding comic books again and are collecting back issues of Archie. Now, a few years ago, if I remember, Walt, you had a guy bring in a huge collection of back issues of the Archie Double Digests. And if I remember correctly, some of them were worth quite a bit of money.
Oh, yeah. It was embarrassing. We go, you know, I'll give you a quarter each for them, right?
Right.
And the guy goes, oh, okay.
Well, because you kind of figured you're selling for like 50 cents or something,
or
right?
A dollar or whatever. And so some other guy, like a day later, goes, oh, these are worth money, these old ones. This was like 6 years ago or whatever. I go, really? He goes, yeah. He goes, throw them up on eBay. And I threw them up on eBay. And, you know, one got like $78.
Really?
Yeah. And then the guy came in. I guess the guy was where? The guy came in and goes, oh, yeah, you did pretty good on my Archies. I go, I swear I didn't know they were worth that much money. And then we made a compensation deal.
Yeah, you gave him more money.
More money after that. Because I hadn't had a clue that those were.
Well, I guess like even in the guide, they don't sell. They're not listed as being that much of a price. But then all of a sudden on eBay, now they're worth a lot of money. So, you know, it's one of those weird things where, you know, hey, you figured out and you made the world right by actually giving the guy some more money, right?
Yes. All right, Chris, let's end new this week. So please head into your local comic book shop today.
Yes.
And the rest of the week and pick up a plethora of new stuff coming out today.
Plethora. All right. Well, let's, you know what, because this is the week before Christmas and Spider-Man is one of our favorite characters, we're going to have an all Spider-Man music day today. And all from the old Krantz 1960s TV show. So here's some Classroom Blues.
I've often been driving in the car and I said, damn, you know, nothing says Christmas like the old Spider-Man classroom.
It really doesn't, does it?
Nothing.
Yeah, I know,
nothing.
I know. Really, you know. That's what I figured. Yeah.
Burl's got nothing
on
that.
Yeah, I know. It's true. Right. It's true.
Chris, what are we at? What are we at now? Where are we?
Mailbag.
Yes, we are at Mailbag. I will read the Comic Culture Mailbag sponsor. Comic Culture Mailbag is brought to you by Canada Post. Remember us?
Wow. No, I don't think. Well, you know what? I'm sure they must be doing some sort of business with Christmas cards and all that, right?
Don't people just electronically send those things?
I think there's still. I mean, even today, I sent out two, snail mail cards myself.
Wow.
I know. Oh. It's hard to believe, yeah.
Right. And you expected them to get there for Christmas, is my question.
Well, yeah, anyways, yeah. Mailbag.
All right. So, Chris, here's an email.
Yes.
From Chuck.
Chuck.
Chuck. Chris, I just finished Batman Arkham City, and it was awesome. Any other suggestions?
Oh, well, I guess he's talking about the video, various superhero video games.
Yeah, like any video game.
Does it mean
superhero video?
Yeah, I think so.
I guess comic book
related. Right,
right. Right.
So
what do you got for Chuck? Then?
Of course, there's lots of great video games out there, and I'm assuming he's already played the Arkham Asylum video game, which actually was a precursor to Arkham City.
Right,
right? So I'm sure he wants to play that. Because if he didn't, he really has to go back and play that, because that's awesome, too. The other one that really sticks out in my mind right now is Spider-Man Shattered Images. And that's Shattered Dimensions.
Right.
And that came out a little while ago, not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And great Spider-Man video game, really cool. Has a bunch of awesome villains in it. Awesome playability too. I really, really love that one. That would probably be my big suggestion to him.
Right.
You know, it really depends on the platform that he's playing. I mean, heck, you know, if he's playing an old Nintendo, then you know, there's an old Silver Surfer game from like 1980 or whatever it was that was fun too. So
right on. Now, this Batman Arkham City game.
Yeah.
Is it? What's the best part of it? The villains?
Yeah, you know what?
I don't know how to play this thing. So
okay, so the best part of it is I would have to say the best part of it is the concept alone. Because the concept is that, the whole city of Arkham of Gotham mm-hmm. has been turned into a giant asylum. So all the prisoners are let loose, and they're all being controlled in the giant city. So really,
right.
So now you've got these like turf wars, kind of like, you know, you've got Penguin has his area,
mm-hmm.
Two-Face has his area, Joker has his area, and so it's just kind of cool seeing how everything kind of plays out and everything. And of course, all the voices are the same voices from the cartoons of the guys that have been doing it for a long time now. So you still have Mark Hamill playing the Joker, which is iconic. Now, I don't know if anybody who has possibly played a better Joker than Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill, yeah. Right. Okay.
So it's just fun seeing all those kind of characters and just the new concepts and designs. So.
All right. So, but the villains play a big part.
Absolutely, okay. Yeah. Huge.
So I guess my point then would be where I was trying to go with it.
Oh,
is
I'm sorry, yes.
The Spider-Man one, because both of those characters
right.
have such great villains.
Absolutely, yes.
Right?
Absolutely,
so
yes.
The Spider-Man game, when you have Mysterio
and
you've
got Green
Goblin
and guys yeah,
like
yeah.
That, the Lizard
yeah,
and
that's right.
Sandman
yeah.
and all those guys.
All
so,
those kind of great characters. Yeah, Rhino.
Kingpin,
and all,
Rhino,
yeah.
Right, yeah. right. So they're
really,
obviously going to be incorporated in the game.
Right, right. right. Mm-hmm. And you know what's funny? You know, I had a long talk about the villains of some superheroes a while ago with some friends of mine. And, you know, Spider-Man, he's a great character to begin with. But you get a guy like the Flash where, you know, really his only power is that he can run fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that, I mean, it's a good power, but it's not great. But what makes the Flash great are mm-hmm. all his villains, right? Because he's got a great roster of great villains, right?
Right.
So he really makes the character. Whereas Spider-Man, he's still great on his own,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, the fact that he has great villains makes him all that much better.
Doubly better,
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
I get it. All right, so, Chuck, I hope that pleases you. Go out and check out the Spider-Man. What is it, Turn Off the Dark? Or?
No, he should check that out, too.
Right.
But Shattered Dimensions.
Shattered Dimensions. All
yes.
right. All right.
All right. Let's keep going on.
Let's keep going. Let's go right into industry news.
Yes.
And do we have a sponsor?
Oh, hold on a second. Yes, we do. Sponsor. Industry news is brought to you by your local comic book shop. It's still not too late to hit your local comic shop and load up on those last-minute gifts.
Good call, Chris.
Yes,
your
yes.
local
you
shop
know,
will save you.
They always do.
Yes, they
that
do.
And the gas station.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Fair enough.
It's always good to get air fresheners for gifts.
Or like air pumps.
Or
hey, honey, you really need that antifreeze.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, Marvel, being the champions of literacy that they are,
yes.
they're launching a prose line of books.
Really?
Yeah.
So now,
so the first one that they're doing is they're writing a prose version, like a wordy version of
like a novel kind of thing.
Civil War.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. This sounds terrible.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, to me it does anyways.
Well, I think they're going to start doing all the classics. So you're going to eventually see a Crisis on – no, that's the other one, isn't it? What's the one? Secret Wars.
Secret Wars.
What's Crisis on Infinite Earths?
That's DC.
Yeah, okay. Maybe Marvel will write that one, too.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, why not? Well, while they're at it.
Yeah, why not?
No, what's the big Marvel in the 80s?
Secret Wars.
Yeah, Secret Wars. Yes. Okay, it was Secret Wars.
So Secret Wars 2 with the Beyonder.
Oh my, yeah. So all these great old miniseries.
Yes.
Are going to be turned into prose. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I don't know how good of an idea this is. This is nothing new. First of all, this has been done before. It's been done before. Mm-hmm. They did it with Kingdom Come years ago with Mark Waid and Alex Ross's, the masterpiece there. They've done it with other comic book graphic novels where they've turned them directly into prose. I don't know how good they are, and there's been lots of novels out there that have been made about the characters that aren't a direct take on the graphic novels. Whereas now this is sort of just the graphic novel being turned into
prose.
Well,
this is where it might get different because, as before, they used to license these things out to these small publishers to do this kind of stuff. Now it's Marvel doing it.
Right.
Perhaps now Marvel has some sort of grand vision of, hey, we're going to appeal to the reader. What they're trying to target is a totally new audience.
Well,
they're trying to target a reader and then bring them into comics.
This is interesting because I'm wondering if now with all these new digital formats of comics coming out and e-readers and Kindles and all that kind of stuff. I wonder if Marvel's seeing, they're seeing the writing on the wall, but perhaps they're seeing a new wall of something that they should get into. Because if there's going to be all kinds of new digital formats of comics and graphic novels coming out, maybe they're saying, hey, you know what? Let's jump into this whole Kindle and this whole digital realm.
Yeah,
and so
enough.
Maybe they're saying that we should start publishing these prose novels.
Yeah,
right?
Good call, good point. And you're absolutely right. But at the end of the day, I still do think that they perhaps see – I think the trick for DC and the trick for Marvel is to try to get new people onto their characters.
There
is a segment of the population, and it's quite large, that will have nothing to do with sequential art.
Right, in terms of reading. And you know what? And there's nothing wrong with that because I think it's good because really there are, when I was a kid, growing up, my sister used to taunt me about the fact that I never read any real novels.
Right.
And of course, she only read that stuff. There's a perfect example.
But here's the point. I guess maybe we're both agreeing. But here,
we're going to disagree on this.
Listen, so Marvel has these great characters, Spider-Man.
Right.
Thor. Iron Man. And they have all these great characters.
Right.
And perhaps they're starting to really look at the big picture and say, hey, these are great characters. They don't have to be sequential art. Well, let's just write a novel about Iron Man.
I think we're agreeing to agree here.
No, let me finish. Damn it.
Sorry.
Let me finish.
Sorry. Okay. Well, you couldn't be more wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you mean? No, at the end of the day, if they can have, the flipping, Harlequin Marvel may come next, where they write romance novels for ladies.
Oh,
Harlequin, where they have a picture on the cover of Wolverine chopping wood, sweaty,
bare chested,
and some woman over in the log cabin, longingly looking at him.
Or Jean Grey is lifting that log up for him just a little bit more so it's easier for him to
chop. Yes.
Yeah.
Here, Wolverine, let me lift your log. Yes, sorry.
You know what? Why not?
So where were we here? Are we mad at each other? Or are we agreeing on this?
I'm not too sure. But of Christmas, we'll say we're agreeing.
Yeah, we're agreeing. I like Marvel trying to do prose.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Let's keep on moving here.
Chris, you're the toy guy.
Hasbro.
Yeah. Talk to me about Hasbro.
So Hasbro's board game sales have been declining over
That's not good.
No. So in 2010, Hasbro's game sales dropped 3% versus...
That's not that bad.
That's not that bad. Their stock, however, is down 30%, which isn't that good.
No,
that's not good. As of Monday, their stock closed at $32.78.
Yes, so that's 30%
down. Yeah, that's
so
down. Yeah.
From what I understood when I read a little bit about this, is Hasbro is one of the world's largest toy manufacturers.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's more like the Hasbro stock, the Hasbro line, it's more like a barometer, really, on the whole economy. Because if they're selling toys, things are going well, people are buying stuff for their kids, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I guess – but the thing is, though, Hasbro over the last few years has made – excuse me, tremendous gains.
Oh, for sure. Well, I mean,
and like it has to be. Maybe they've just plateaued.
I think that could be part of it. I mean, let's not forget that one of their subsidiary companies is also Wizards of the Coast, which does the Magic of the Gathering.
And they've been doing really good.
And they were doing really, really well. So I don't know if maybe their sales are dropping off a little bit, maybe as well, which could contribute to.
Or no. I think I read something where their sales were skyrocketing.
Oh, are they?
Which masks maybe
an even bigger drop in board game sales, right?
Board games and toys.
I think I would imagine that, you know, the advent of video games is taking over even more so. You know, the video game developers are coming up with ways so whole families can play these games now, whereas really the board game was meant for multiple people, you know, and video games initially was meant for one or perhaps two players.
Right.
But now they're coming up with all kinds of games where, you know, they can get whole families together and playing it. So it's becoming more family fun night, right?
Okay, this is what I don't get. So Hasbro is the world's largest maker of board games.
Yeah.
I mean, I love my Family Ties board game. That is awesome. Right? And the Barnaby Jones game?
Awesome. I love that
unbelievable.
One.
Unbelievable.
Personally, I'm a friend of the Barney Miller one. I always wanted to be Fish.
Fish is awesome. Yeah. Well, Jehovah's for me. But listen, it's puzzling that you know, you're telling me about this trend in video games. Why wouldn't the world's largest board game maker not be aware of the trend to family video game night and be the leader? Because what these big companies do is they buy up these little startup, really progressive video game companies.
Well, you are right in a sense that there are video game versions of the more popular board games out there. So there is a monopoly out there for video games and things like that. There's Scrabble video games, all that kind of stuff. But maybe they're not doing it enough. Maybe they're not promoting enough.
Or maybe they're going about it wrong. Maybe the trick is not to transfer Clue onto the computer,
right?
Not to transfer Monopoly onto the computer, but use your standing and your cash reserves and whatever to know that video family video games are climbing. So if Quirk Corporation has, you know, 11 employees and they've got the coolest new family game, you buy Quirk.
But you know what? I agree with what you're saying, and I think that one of the other things that's happening is I don't think there's enough good new board games coming out. I mean, we have seen, you know, we've seen Monopoly.
Like board games, non-video games.
Non-video games. Like just regular board games.
Right.
I don't know how much, you know, research is going into creating brand new board games.
But maybe that's a medium that's like a thing of the past and everybody knows it. So they're trying to sell their Monopolies and their Clues and their battleships.
Right.
But you know, the future is online, but maybe it's not.
Maybe just maybe the, you know, where's the next Trivial Pursuit, right? I mean, when Trivial Pursuit came out, everybody had to have it.
There has
not been a board game recently that everybody had to have.
You're right.
You know, and I don't see why, video games or not, why they something like that hasn't come out recently.
Fair enough.
You know? That's all I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying. All right, Chris, let's keep going. So I read this. So, and listenership, beware. Please don't download onto torrent sites.
Don't upload.
Upload, is that what you
upload,
call it?
Yeah.
Upload, right. Okay, yeah, don't upload, because the guy that uploaded the X-Men Origins Wolverine, that kind of working copy that was out a month before, he got a year in federal prison.
That's crazy. That's crazy. You know what?
A year in the pen.
But, you know, initially when I read that, I thought, oh, my God, well, like that is way overdoing it, right? Which I still kind of think it is. However, where was it? I read on here somewhere. The downloads was over 4 million downloads of that Wolverine movie at that time. So you know what? Like,
now, what did that cost?
4 million. Yeah. What did that cost the producers? Right?
Right.
So I mean, 4 million times, you know,
$10.
$10
the
a ticket.
Theater, yeah, that's 40
that's
million.
$40 million.
That's like $8 million.
Sure. Right.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway, good thing you're not doing math. Anyways.
You're right. That, like, the thing, though, is it was unfinished from what I'm reading, Chris.
Right.
And did it make people want to go see the finished version? So this isn't the thing. But at the end of the day, they are right. It was kind of a federal crime under the way the laws are written now about this stuff. So you've basically taken somebody's property that they're not ready to distribute yet.
Right.
And you've distributed it.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. That's
and
right.
They have a mechanism where they have to pay for all this stuff. They have to pay
for, sure.
for their actors and their cameramen and their production companies and their
Absolutely.
Whatever.
Absolutely.
And all that payment comes from you and me and Andrew going to the movie
yep.
theaters.
Yep, I agree.
And
I
so
agree.
And this guy comes along and says, oh, man, I found this copy. I'll upload it when
yep.
I know I'm not yep. supposed
now,
to.
Now, of course, he said that he claimed that he actually bought the DVD from somebody else, that he didn't get the the copy from sort of an original source. He bought it from some street guy.
So he was protecting his
source. Apparently the ultimate source was never discovered.
Right.
To where it actually came from. Like who from the production company leaked it, right?
This guy's the fall guy, Chris.
Yes.
This guy's taking it on the chin. He's
yeah.
eating that ear up.
Yeah, that's
you know?
Right.
Like, imagine him in the pen, you know what I mean? With all
yeah.
those tough guys'
yeah,
tattoos.
Yeah. So what are you in?
Yeah, what are you in for, bud?
I uploaded a movie.
I uploaded Wolverine, pal. Back
yeah.
off,
yeah.
buddy.
I uploaded
Wolverine, buddy. Back off.
Yeah, what would you do?
Skint.
Snicket.
Snicket.
Yeah.
Sorry, I said the wrong word.
Skint. Yeah, it's still pretty good. It's pretty good, yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah,
all right. Well, anyway, so lesson learned for our friend Gilberto Sanchez.
Yes.
I'm sure he'll be rehabilitated in the pen and come out a new man.
All right. Oh. Well, let's – oh. We do have one more story before we get to a musical interlude here.
Sad story.
Sad
Chris.
Story, sadly. Joe Simon, the co-creator of Captain America, is passed away at the age of 98.
98 years old.
So here's a guy that got his first paid comic book work in 1936.
My God.
And passed away at the age of 98. Co-created Captain America.
Well, he also did, hold on, without looking at the press release there, he did the what's those boys?
Newsboy Legion.
Newsboy Legion
yep.
and the, cripe. There are also a bunch of kids.
The Boy Commandos.
Boy Commandos, yep. that's it, sorry.
Yep. Yeah. And
with Jack Kirby.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And the Fighting American and the Fly.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. So
yes.
Now, over the last 10 years, he's been doing a bunch of retrospectives, and you know, he was in he had a book, Joe Simon, My Life in Comics. You know, he did the Fighting American from mm-hmm. Titan Publishing. You know, it's this is sad because you know here's a guy. So you know, Joe Simon passed away, and then just last week,
Jerry Robinson
yeah. passed away.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, you know, a lot of these old guys,
the guys that built the industry, they're
leaving us. Yeah,
yeah
founded.
Founders.
Founders of the whole comic book industry, really.
Really, yeah.
You know, yeah.
I mean, you got guys like, thankfully, Stan the Man is still
yep.
with us.
Yeah,
hopefully,
he's still
he'll
around.
Be with us for another 20 years or so,
yeah.
and it'll be good. But, yeah.
But you know what? Just think about, just for a minute, think about Joe Simon's life, like what he saw, what he went through. You know, witness to the everything that happened in World War II. He was around for that.
Yeah.
Co-created Captain America. Saw the advent of computers and
yeah.
to the digital medium, and then you know eventually finally got to see a great version of his own creation of Captain America
right,
on the big
this
screen.
Summer, yeah, that would be awesome.
What a life to live,
yeah,
really.
Yeah.
I mean,
he was actually the first editor of Timely Comics, which is now Marvel.
Which is now Marvel, yeah.
So even before Stan the Man.
Our condolences go out to his family. Sad to see him go.
Mr. Simon will be missed.
Yes, absolutely. All right, well, let's go to musical interlude. And, of course, we have more of that crazy Christmas Spider-Man music for you. And this one's called Classroom Blues. Oh, wait, sorry. Sorry about that. Hold on.
They all melt into each other.
Hold on. Let's do this one here. It's called Prisoners.
Thank you.
That's beautiful. Chris, put that mistletoe down, buddy. Put that mistletoe down.
Was something else, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah. All right, Chris.
Sorry about that earlier there. I got my keys there mixed up.
Yes, you did. Anyway, this section of industry news is brought to you by your local comic book shop. Comic books promote literacy, and they make great stocking stuffers.
They really do, especially RT Digests.
Absolutely right. All right, Chris. So I was leafing through the TV guide.
Right.
Because this time of year, I love watching those Christmas specials.
Oh, yeah. You know, which is your favorite one?
I used to, you know, the Uncle Scrooge. It's not the Uncle Scrooge. The Ebenezer Scrooge.
Carol.
Christmas Carol. It's a Wonderful Life. God, I'm OD'd on that thing already. Yeah. Crazy.
Now, be honest here. Did you cry at the end of It's a Wonderful Life?
No.
Oh.
Honestly, I don't. Okay. But I think I did my first time I saw
first
it.
First time I saw it, I bawled.
Yeah, it was a great movie. But I go, you know what? I mean, The Grinch and all that kind of stuff. I was trying to scan ones I haven't seen before.
I'm
going to try to maybe make a note of them and check them out. So I found five that look really, really interesting.
Oh, okay, great. Right?
Now, three of them are like surprisingly comic related. I'm going to check these out.
Okay.
I think Thursday night, I'm not sure what station. I didn't write the station down. Oops. There's one called Aunt Mildred's Fruitcake. It's the story of Mildred's nephew, Josh. And Josh's discovery that Aunt Mildred's fruitcake is turning the citizens of the town into zombies.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, and then
what
he has
twist.
To figure out. Yeah,
oh, wow.
Exactly.
I didn't see that one coming at all.
Yeah, that looks really cool.
And nothing says Christmas like zombies.
Or fruitcake.
Or fruitcake.
Right,
because
that stuff, you know, goes. Yeah. And we've always known fruitcake is evil.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Always.
Yeah. I, for a long time, I was collecting all the ones that people would give me because I was hoping to build my house out of them.
Right. Yes. Yeah, all right. Anyway, there's another one. I think this is on the Women's Network. What do you call that? W?
Sure.
Right.
Hey, are you trying to trick me into making me sound like I watch it all the time or something?
It's called A Brony Christmas.
A Brony.
Yeah, Brony Christmas. It's My Little Pony guest stars on the 2.5 Men Christmas special.
I like it.
That would be something else.
Yeah,
that would be really cool.
I would love to see what Ashton Kutcher does with My Little Pony.
With Brony, yeah.
With Brony.
That looks good. I'm going to definitely check that one
absolutely,
out. That looks good.
Absolutely,
This one's kind of not comic related, but who's not going to watch this? It's called A 50 Cent Christmas.
Oh!
Yeah. Rapper 50 Cent hosts his Christmas on a Budget special.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
That's
like
going to be cool.
You know, yeah. And so I'm assuming that all the gift ideas will be 50 cents.
Well, that's, you
yeah,
know what?
Yeah, I love it.
You know, 50 Cent is a smart guy.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure he's doing the play on word thing.
This is great.
That looks really good.
I can't wait to see it. I hope there's like lots of guest stars too.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, this one is great. This is on the Cooking Network. It's called Two Girls and a Cup Christmas. This is where two girls share their eggnog recipes.
Oh.
Yeah. So that looks really, really interesting.
That's great. You know what? Sometimes you don't mind sharing other people's food. Other times you're not so much, right?
Well, hey, listen. I mean, this is the season where people, they're going to parties.
Yeah.
They're drinking eggnog.
Eggnog recipe,
it's perfect special
good.
To go
That's
see
good.
That.
I like it.
All right. And this one, the last one. Who's going to miss this one, Chris? I think it's on Friday night.
Right.
I think on CBC, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's called Stan Lee Christmas.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah. Where Stan Lee reminisces on how he created Christmas.
Yes.
Yes. I remember.
Excelsior.
I thought. We need something called Christmas.
We need something called Christmas. And so I decided I'd get three wise men.
Yes. I wrote a story, and Jack drew it for me. Anyway, that looks cool. That stuff is coming out. So look for those. They're in your TV guide.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know. Yeah.
And check them out. All right. Let's keep going.
All right.
Well, this is probably yours and mine favorite. We need a new segment.
I think we really do.
trailers.
Of crappy trailers.
We'll call it trailer trash.
Oh, there you go. I like
that.
Trailer trash. Yeah. Right, I like that.
We'll call it trailer trash,
yeah.
Where we post news.
About new trailers. Because really, a lot of times it's trailer trash because sometimes there's not a whole lot to these trailers.
Yeah.
Or sometimes it's just a poster.
Yeah.
You know, because we can include that too. Even though it's not a trailer, we'll include posters too.
We'll include posters in the trailer trash.
Yeah.
But poster trash doesn't sound as good.
No, but trailer trash.
We'll call it trailer trash.
Absolutely.
Even if it's just a poster.
That's good. All right.
All right. So name me some trailers that have been popping out this week.
Okay. So we got Ghost Rider. The new Ghost Rider trailer, Spirit of Vengeance, has been released.
Spirit of Vengeance.
Yes.
Remember that 1990s Spirit of Vengeance series with Ghost Rider? I think it was called Spirit of Vengeance.
Unfortunately, it was terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, it was awful.
Like, are they going for nostalgia with those?
I hope not.
Because those were terrible.
Yeah, there's really no point in doing that stuff because it was just awful.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Nick Cage is back, though.
Well, you know, he is a fan of comic books, and, you know, maybe he's just trying to jumpstart it again or something, or maybe sign a contract. Who knows?
Well, anyway, so that's the second trailer. There was a trailer released in the summer. This is the second trailer. It's in 3D, and the movie is actually coming out. I think it's the first comic movie of 2012, right? It's February 17th.
Oh, could be. Well, the only good thing that this might have in it is it's written by David Goyer. And David Goyer is a guy that actually has written a lot of comics himself, and he's written a few different comic book movies. You know, I remember the one that comes to mind is I think he wrote Blade, and he did well with that one. So there's lots of different movies that he's done, so I can't think of any right now, but he's done lots.
Jump online, Ghost Rider trailer. What else we got? Well, we have this isn't even a trailer, but you have the Amazing Spider-Man plot teasers.
Oh, okay.
So it's trailers, posters, and plot teasers.
Plot teasers, yeah.
That's trailer trash, right?
Okay.
All right. So they're talking about how the new how it's going to focus on Spidey's parents.
Right.
And I don't know. This is what does it say? This is the first in a series of movies that tells the different side of Peter Parker's story.
Well, hold on. So wait. So is every movie going to have a different side of Peter Parker's story? Is that like a weird sort of sliding doors like this? What could have happened to Peter Parker's life if, you know, you see it from a different perspective? Because that'd be kind of lame if that's what they did.
I hope they don't.
Yeah.
I hope they don't. But I think they are trying to just totally wipe the slate clean. So it's not. It's like you've never seen those first three
right.
Spider-Man movies.
Well,
I think that's the way it's going to go.
I kind of wish I had never seen them anyways.
Right.
You know, well, okay, maybe the first two were okay.
Right.
The third one was terrible.
Right, okay. Now, I think that's a consensus with most.
Yeah.
I saw this today. This looked cool.
Yeah, I'm actually excited about
this. John Carter
ones? Yeah, you know what? John Carter, of course, you know, John Carter was created by Edgar Rice Burroughs, who also created the Conan.
Yes. No, Tarzan.
Sorry, Tarzan. Yeah. Tarzan. And so you know what? I've seen the trailers for it. I'm really looking forward to seeing this movie. I hope. Now the only thing that I'm a little leery about is that it is going to be produced by Disney. So I don't know how well Disney is going to take his original stories how authentic they're going to make the movie, right?
Right.
Or if they're going to Disney it up a bit, right?
Right. Yeah, but the whole problem with okay, so John Carter is science fiction.
Right.
The trailers look more like sword and sorcery in a way.
They
have a cross between Conan and Star Wars, right?
Which is kind of what John Carter was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I don't know whether they can successfully melt the two genres,
right.
Or as a
right.
buddy of mine says, genres.
Genres.
Yes. I wonder if I don't know if they can melt the two genres together.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because it's science fiction, but it's also that you know, sword and sandal, right?
Yeah,
kind of,
yeah,
you know what
I
mean?
Like
that.
So, I don't know. But the trailers do look great.
Yeah,
and I'm going to go see the movie.
Yeah, Dark Knight Rises trailer is the next one we've got on our list here, and this trailer has shows a little bit more about Bane and how important Bane is going to be of the movie. Now, I'm looking forward to this. apparently, the Dark Knight Rises trailer is going to be viewed when you see the Mission Impossible 4 movie. Ghost Protocol, I think it's called.
Yeah.
And
out now. Basically, this trailer is out now at the movie theater.
Yeah. So you know, and there are people that will go to certain movies just to see trailers. So
that's wicked.
Well, I'm just it does happen, and so you know, who knows what's going to happen.
And then we have, to finish it off, finish this week's installment of Trailer Trash.
Trailer Trash, yeah.
We have new Avengers pictures have hit
the net. Oh, that's good. Yeah, wow, that's
very,
great.
Very exciting. Ooh. So there's a new picture of Iron Man flying through a city.
And I like this one. Captain America and Thor battling unseen opponents. Dun, dun, dun! Unseen.
So, yeah, this is very exciting. So, I mean, listen, it's one of those things, it's like... hey, buddy, you want to go out tonight? Are you kidding me? I got trailers to watch.
I got pics I got to take a look at.
Yeah, I got to download stuff. Yeah. Come on, leave me alone.
Yikes.
Yeah. All right, Chris, let's keep going. Marvel Kids Comics.
Yes.
Marvel Kids Comics. So Marvel's got that line, Marvel Adventures, where they have comic books.
Geared more toward more kids.
Yeah, Spider-Man. Yeah. It's always all ages written. I think they're discontinuing them. That's the word on the net in March. And so people started kind of panicking in a sense, not panicking per se, but saying, phoning Marvel saying, what's going on? And a Marvel rep did say, I think I read this on comicbookresources.com. The Marvel rep did say that, don't worry, Marvel will continue to do all ages comics.
Right.
So what it sounds like is they're kind of going maybe with a new imprint or a new relaunch of a new kind of series,
yep.
I hope,
yeah,
for the spring.
Yeah, maybe a new reboot, relaunch of a new kids line, you know. Maybe they're getting their stuff together.
Hey, maybe.
Maybe.
They're getting it ready for... Free Comic Book Day.
Oh, could be, because Free Comic Book Day is coming out in May, of course, of next year.
Yeah, Saturday, I think, May the 4th.
Yep.
And last week was it that all the publishers announced their gold and silver sponsors.
Right.
So,
right. Now, and that's always exciting.
Yeah. So what? Like the gold sponsors, of course, are – I don't even know what gold sponsors
mean. I think the gold sponsors, you have to donate or be prepared to sell a certain number of comics, as well as I think there's also stipulations around creating new content for the comics.
Okay.
So you have to have like a new – you can't just sort of shell out some old comic. I could be wrong. I could be very wrong on this, but I you know, that's
– Or perhaps they're the ones that take up the most advertising.
Could
in
maybe.
Previews
maybe,
too,
yeah. Right? Maybe they donate more money. Who knows?
Right. Okay. So, of course, the big one would be Avengers.
Right.
Number 12.1.
Yep.
And of course, you got to remember that Free Comic Book Day happens on the Saturday after the Friday movie premiere
of the Avengers.
Of the Avengers.
Right. So all your savvy comic book stores and everything will hopefully be doing a great big launch about the movie, about Free Comic Book Day. It's, you know, the perfect day to have the Free Comic Book Day, really.
Right. So if you're a shopkeep listening, don't skimp on the Avengers one.
No.
You know, that's the one that you buy 3,000-4,000 copies of. And that's the one you use all year for your promotions and stuff like that. And you've got to – what we have to do as an industry, we have to buy in to the Avengers succeeding.
Yeah.
And not be caught with our pants down, so to say, wow, Avengers was awesome. And, you know, I bought 50 copies that I gave out by 11 a.m.
on the
Saturday morning, right?
I think it's – I can't see the Avengers bombing. Mm-hmm. You know, with all the such a great cast and great characters and everything, I can't see it happening. So really, you have to be well prepared for the onslaught of Avengers merchandise and fans that are going to come to the store.
Yeah. People will be interested.
Yeah, for sure. Right.
Bongo.
Now, looking at this Bongo cover, I have to say, you know, we don't want to go through every single comic here, but I have to say that, okay, so the Bongo cover features comic book guy in a number of different outfits. None, of course, their, you know, regular outfit, but, you know, it looks like he's dressed as the Flash. It looks like, you know, he's Doc Ock there in the far back of the cover there. So you know what? I'm wondering if this Free Comic Book Day Bongo comic is going to be an all comic book guy comic.
Oh, that would be cool.
Which I think would be great.
That would be really cool. Yeah. DC has the all-new 52 Special Edition.
Yep.
Now here, I'm going to yell at DC a little bit for this. The 52 will be 10, 12 weeks old. They're the how can I say it? They
what
they,
52?
Like they started in September,
yeah,
right? Now this is May.
Now it's 12.
You know, when Free Comic Book Day comes out, they're kind of
they won't be 10 weeks old. They might be
months. They'll be up to issues 8s and 9s or whatever it is. And I'm not sure what the book is. I should have maybe read more about it before I blab my mouth around this thing and say that they're wrong.
Right, right.
They should kind of keep going forward as almost trying to reminisce something that isn't that old, you know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right,
so,
yes.
Or I don't know. But DC is always like, they always have two or three of these big books for Comic Book
yep,
Day. And
yep.
It does make sense that they kind of allude to their relaunch.
Absolutely. But, of course, they're going to have to do that.
Okay, what else do we have, Chris?
You know, we've got some interesting ones. We've got a Mouse Guard.
How does that make gold?
We've got Mouse Guard, of course. So now, Mouse Guard is like, you know, it's a alternative-ish kind of comic, and it's not really all that well known. I mean, it's not a huge fan base.
You know what
to
I
it
hate about Mouse Guard? Okay, the guy
know,
is a good guy, David Pettersson.
David Pettersson,
it?
Yeah.
It's a great comic. I've read it.
Yeah.
I hate the damn size.
The size. You can't put it anywhere.
You can't put it anywhere. The new issue comes out. We went out. Hey, Mr. Pettersson, we went out to this local plastic company. We thought we'd be a progressive comic shop, and we spent $78,000. Okay, maybe not that much. But we spent a lot of money on these kind of really cool cascade plastic dividers for our new recent comics.
Yeah.
And you know, and everything looks great.
Yeah,
it looks beautiful.
Awesome, yeah.
Customers come in, they love it. I can't fit Mouse Guard.
No,
most
yeah. It's one of those books you have to put it somewhere else,
yeah.
and then inevitably nobody sees it.
Nobody
right?
sees it.
You know, so.
Yeah. You know, Economics 101.
Yeah.
Note to self.
Other interesting ones of note, Peanuts. Of course, there's the new Peanuts book coming out. Where remember we were talking about this a few weeks ago with new writers and new artists drawing new stories about the Peanuts characters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, we're talking about Charlie Brown and Linus and Lucy and all that. And there's going to be a Peanuts Adventure Time flip book coming out, which I think is kind of cool.
Very cool. Okay, just going to take another couple minutes and highlight a couple of neat ones that maybe haven't been around before. So, you know, those the books that the kids are reading, the boys especially,
and, yep.
They're reading like, you know, World's Most Dangerous Animals,
World's Most
Disgusting Things.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a comic, you know, World's Most Dangerous Animals.
That's awesome.
Those books are selling really good.
I like that.
What else do we have?
And that looks like, I can't quite make it up, but that looks like it's the published by, it is. And there you go, Animal Planet. So Animal Planet is, of course,
the
TV series.
Yeah.
So they're actually publishing a comic book now, which I think is fantastic.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
We have Dune Origins, which is great. I love seeing the Dune franchise busting back into comics. And then we have a comic book price guide, which I think is awesome.
Oh,
comic
yeah, right, right.
Price
yeah,
guide,
yeah,
yeah. You know, educating the masses on what the price guide is doing.
Now, I want to know a little bit more about Rockhead and Zinc Alloy. Two for one. Two for none. I want to know what that comic's all about. Of course, I'll have to wait until Free Comic Book Day.
But... Or you can go on to www.freecomicbookday.com and click on or just, I guess you can click on any of these links, these icons that have these characters, and it'll be a bit of a description on each book.
Okay, so hold on a second here. I just saw one, you know, I know we're probably spending way too long on it, but they're coming out with a my favorite Martian comic.
Ew.
Like, wasn't that from, like, you know, what's like, it was like a Ray Bolger or
something? 1960s?
Like that, or, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to go nowhere.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So.
All right. So, again, freecomicbookday.com. Check out already, you know, start that little ledger, start your journal, and start listing the books you really, really want to pick up at your local comic book shop.
All right. Well, let's have a quick musical interlude here, and then we'll get right back to some of our talk about comic book stuff. So here is Jameson.
I love that. That's that song that I think the large department stores used to play really loud, and the kids would stop loitering.
Probably.
Yeah.
Doesn't that
great tune though?
Doesn't that kind of I don't know. All I can think about was The Odd Couple.
I know. All right, Chris, listen, we're running out of time because, you know, when we're talking about Christmas and it's our Christmas special,
yep.
You and I are sharing the eggnog. Hey, can I have the cup?
Oh, yeah, sure. There you go.
And
just joking.
We'll talk about the previews for the last little segment. Of course, Chris and I, every month we talk about what's in the previews catalog. The previews catalog is the monthly catalog that is at your local comic book shop that you can go in, peruse, and pick stuff up that will be available 2 months from then.
Yes.
So the December previews, which you'd be looking at when you walk into your shop today,
will come out in February.
Right. So Chris and I like to look through it and pick our picks of what we're definitely going to pick up and order.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
February.
Absolutely. And I know the one that you're going to talk about now. I think you said you're going to order a case of them, didn't you?
Well, yeah, because I do have a bit of a sweet tooth.
Right.
And I like on page 416... the Hello Kitty chocolate sticks.
Yes.
Now, it sounds wrong in so many ways.
It really does.
But all the writing, or half the writing, is written in Japanese, which you would right away assume is quality.
Absolutely, yes.
Right.
So, and I'm sure
it looks delicious, looks good, and that's what I'm going to pick up. Now, Chris, because we're running out of time, I'm going to go over to your page.
Yeah,
you picked,
what do you got for us? I picked something not quite so edible. I picked the Rocky and Sweats statue. So, you know, Rocky Balboa.
Yo, Adrian.
Yeah. So this is – remember he was climbing the steps of – it was like a courthouse or a library or something like that?
Oh, yeah. Remember at the beginning?
Yeah.
He'd get a cramp and he couldn't make it all the way up the stairs.
Yeah.
And then finally he makes it. He lifts his hands,
up in the air. So this is a statue of the
him lifting his hands up.
Remember they actually – in Philadelphia, they actually have a true bronze statue of him doing that, right?
So. Yeah. Did you – sorry, I got to interject there. Did you when Smoke and Joe Frazier died?
Yes.
I think it was Jesse Jackson. He went on a tirade
about that.
He went on a tirade and says, because Smoke and Joe's South Philly boy, right?
Yeah.
And he goes, you know what? Take that Rocky statue down. Yeah. You know, Smoke and Joe is Philadelphia's hero.
He was a real.
You know, real hero.
Yeah, yeah.
Put a statue of Smoke and Joe up. Yeah. You can't really argue with that. But on second thought, I really, really love that Rocky movie.
And you know what? A lot of people do.
Yeah.
You're not wrong there.
Right.
So, anyways, I think unfortunately,
we're looking at our engineer Andrew.
Andrew, how much time we got here left?
How much time we got? Should we ramble on?
Three and a half minutes. I would say that unfortunately that is pretty well all the time that we have for
right.
today.
We're gonna the radio station can interject a whole bunch of Christmas ads.
There you go. Yeah.
In our place. Please go out and support your local comic book shop.
Yes. And Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone and engineered by Mr. Andrew Roebuck. For comments and suggestions, please visit www.comicbookdaily.com and click on the podcast link. And you can also hear us on getthepointradio.com. And remember, Santa loves cookies, especially the kind that you can dip into milk.
Oh, you are right, Chris. All right, everybody, again, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays. We'll see everyone. We're taking a hiatus next week.
We won't be here next week, but we will be back in the new year.
See you next year.